Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Beis Hashem BPW, share number 119. That's Bayis Panimi, share for women, share number 119. In the last two shiurim, we talked about the first stage of love, which often comes with infatuation. And now we're going to talk about what is called the second stage of love, post-rapture love, that when infatuation ends, true love begins. Which means, very often, you'll feel a lull in your relationship. Well, welcome to the club. It's nothing to be afraid of. And it's nothing to be upset about. The feeling, the lost feeling, where you feel the edge off, where you don't feel that rush anymore, causes some pain, emotional pain. But people overreact to such a strong degree and create such damage because of false assumptions about those lost feelings, that they choose behaviors that will spiral it downward like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So what one needs to do is hold on to their heads, not panic, not be afraid, and just recognize you're on a journey and you're further along in the course of true love more than what you felt before. Before, a lot of it was an illusion. Illusion of infatuation. Some of it was a real spark, a real feeling, and some of it was overkill of chemicals. People don't want to hear this, but it is true. And this temporary low spot that you're feeling, the lull, is a transition to move to a point where you're going to go to a very deep, beautiful, everlasting love, which starts slowly and gradually with subtle changes over time. So here are examples of those feelings. That for months your desires were identical, but lately you don't always want the same thing. Number two, little habits that once were endearing starting now to annoy you. Number three, the social butterfly who used to cancel all his plans to be with you suddenly can't schedule you in every night. Another one, in recent months, there haven't been as many loving gestures between you. You can't remember the last time one of you brought flowers or left a love note, which you used to do. You were once willing to give limitlessly. And now you don't always want to give because you feel now that you're not getting as much in return. Or you used to get up early and have your morning coffee together. And now he wants to sleep until the last possible minute to grab a coffee on the way to work. And he's not sitting down with you anymore. You feel a drifting apart. You feel that your spouse, your husband or wife, is moving away from you. There's more silence between you. Before, the conversation was effortless, and now there's more silence between you. You don't have sex as often, and when you do, it takes longer to become aroused. It isn't fireworks all the time anymore. You need all of a sudden more space. You need more private time. You start seeing things in your husband or wife that you previously overlooked. All of a sudden, oh, he's becoming self-absorbed, or all of a sudden she's compulsive about housekeeping, or the reverse, she's too neglectful about running the house. And here is the worst part of it, which people fall into. Listen carefully. The most sinister of all that takes place after infatuation goes down is that you no longer are giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt. It is now more automatic for you to jump to negative conclusions about your spouse. All of a sudden, if he's 30 minutes late, what does that mean? He's inconsiderate. It's not that he got delayed or he tried or he got tied up or something happened. No, he's inconsiderate now. Or she requests private time from you to talk about the relationship. which till now, okay, sure, let's talk about it. And they did, and they worked through things. Now, all of a sudden, what's going through his mind? She's controlling. So you see here, this is, by the way, scientific, based on research, based on studies, couples, and so on and so forth. You see from here that the infatuation stage can be marked by behaviors ranging from quiet acceptance when after closing the infatuation stage, that is, now you're starting to question the relationship. And many couples, if they did not experience the infatuation, they didn't have that high drama, they move past whatever small infatuation they had without any big deal. You know, they're okay. The ones that never had it, never had this problem. And the ones that had it to a certain degree, but, you know, they're able to adapt. But other couples, there are some couples that expect that chemical high to last forever. And they equate love with that intense, infatuating feeling. They think it's the same. And all of a sudden, they're saying to themselves, I fell out of love. I don't love this person anymore. And they use this funny phrase that, unfortunately, you know, in the movies or in the culture, it's adapted this way. I love you, but I'm not in love with you syndrome. In other words, that's a sign that you hit this second stage of love. And it is not the killing of the romance, of the spark. It's not true. It's the beginning of a true love. And this is one of the tachlises of this book that we're reviewing now, is to understand that. Most couples do have a period of romantic intensity when they fall in love. And within a few months, the high subsides. Sometimes it's between 6 months and 2 years, often. And neuroscientists have a theory about it, that they believe that the brain cannot eternally maintain its revved up lust craze state, either because the nerve endings become habituated with the brain's natural stimulants, meaning it gets used to it. It's a fancy way of saying it gets used to it, or because the level of PEAs and related substances begin to drop. If the infatuation is chemically compared to a jolt of chemicals, it makes sense that they develop a tolerance over a period of time. It's unfortunately like people who get used to alcohol and it's not enough and they need more. And if they don't, they feel deprived. And here is where there's a test. People turn away from each other and go into unhealthy escapes without realizing, no, this is a stage where you work towards each other and you go to a deeper place, a more loving place, a more safe place, a more everlasting place. So that's the idea. And the truth is, it makes sense. How long could two people stay up late at night and avoid other responsibilities, keeping themselves secluded with one another and solely focus on each other 24/7? It's not meant to stay like that forever. So obviously, you know, after time passes, the novelty begins to wear off. And once you discover the new things about each other to a certain degree, and you feel there's no surprises left, and then familiarity sets in, and then all of a sudden, boredom sets in. So, which is, in truth, is a mistake, because the deep depth of the neshama, you may know your husband or wife's habits after a while, and if you're married 20, 30 years, you think, hey, I know everything about them like a book. In reality, you don't. You really, really, truly don't. That you know, you could predict their outside habits or what they may say and so on and so forth, but the depths of who they are and what they could be and their potential and their true inner world, most people do not know. They don't know it themselves of their own inner world. How do they expect to know their spouse's inner world without work? So, but whatever the reasons and causes are for the retreat from the infatuation, to this post-rapture state. Most of us experience this. It's a downshift of energy. Euphoria disappears. Reality makes an entrance. And some people find this comfortable and they get used to it. But others, that they were seduced by the early excitement, feel a feeling of deep disappointment. And they need to be careful and not do that. And if they knew they did this in the past and they felt that disappointment, they need to get over it. They need to reframe it right away. It's not the time to break up. It's not the time to be distant from one another. It's time to start working towards each other in a real way. And you will get there, and it will be beautiful, and it will be everlasting. Change the perception that the world has, that infatuation equals love. Infatuation does not equal love. It does not. There are heartaches and disappointments and aggravations and breakups and tremendous amount of tsar from this misconception, more than almost every other misconception in married life. And without a thorough understanding of what infatuation is or was to post-rapture stage, a couple has a very high risk, because you'll get a thrill out of interacting with somebody else, and it's downhill from there, because you don't realize what it is, and you don't realize the emptiness of it and the superficiality of it, and instead turn to the real thing, which is real life, real happiness, of working towards each other. But to know that the waning of infatuation is perfectly normal. It's not that all of a sudden you don't click. It's not that all of a sudden you have no chemistry. It's not that all of a sudden, you know, we don't know each other anymore and all of that stuff. No. It's not any of those things at all. By the way, this is something very, very important. This applies with our relationship with Torah, with God, with mitzvahs, with observances. We have the same problem. I think many of us listening could relate to it. Both boys, when they get into a real high of wanting to become very from or very good learners or grow, and they're really on top and they're really striving. And or the girls also similar, whether in seminary age or high school, really spiritual, working hard, getting high on that. And then something happens in their life. Someone says a hurtful thing, or some things happen in situations with their parents or their siblings or whatever it is, or someone hurt them, or whatever the case may be, where all of a sudden they get deflated. And and they don't have that cheshek anymore for the idealism. What used to be so exciting to say brachas, or to say baruch she'amar, or to keep a Shabbos in a special meaningful way, all of a sudden falls flat. You don't know what's wrong with you. And again, people make the mistake of saying that means everything till now wasn't real, number one. And number two is that I don't have it anymore. I became detached from God. I became detached from Torah. I can never be there again. And all of this is a mistake. This hergish of a euphoria, of a highness, and then the falling down from it is very, very common. The Yemei Aliyah and the Yemei Yerida, the going up, the going down. And therefore, it is important to recognize the same thing with your relationship with Hashem. Some Shabbosim you'll feel you're on a high, oh, wow, you're deeply connected on the Yontav, it's beautiful. Other times you'll feel flat. It doesn't take away the true relationship with Hashem, that you keep working at it, it becomes deeper and deeper, even if there are times where the feelings aren't beautiful, or they're sometimes conflicted or difficult. Sometimes boredom could set in. It doesn't mean you're less attached. It means you have to work through it, and then you get to a higher level of it. So what applies by that applies certainly in marriage. You work very, very hard, and you can get a lot of that spark back, and the spark is even a deeper spark. That applies to the spiritual connection between the husband and wife, the emotional connection between a husband and wife, and the actual physical sexual connection as well. Don't say because it went down that you lost it. It could be rekindled. It could be resurfaced. It requires work. It requires adjustment. It could be done with tremendous hatzlacha. Bracha and hatzlacha.